This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Here are your TFMR highlights from Monday, September 28th. Okay, here's the dollar. Here's what I want you to watch. All right? It's going to be very important. Remember, that low on March the 9th was 94.65. That's also a perfect first level Fibonacci retracement of the entire move down from 103 down to 92. So this is right where it should stop or have some trouble. That's exactly where it did stop and had some trouble on Friday and now falling back today. Now, again, it may just blow right through here. Next stop, if it does, is probably up around 96. And if that's the case, gold and silver ain't going nowhere until it rolls back down from 96. However, it doesn't necessarily have to do that. Okay, all the things going on this week that we mentioned at the top of this podcast, maybe instead we have a false breakout on our hands. Either way, you would expect after 94 having 94 been resistance for 6 or 7 weeks, you would expect you'd come back down and test it for support, which is why I put a blue line at 94. We're going to watch really closely what happens when it gets there, because it very, very, very likely will sometime this week tap 94, and then we're going to have to see what happens. Finally, some levels to watch in gold and silver. All right, this is a 20-minute candlestick chart going back to the highs back on August the 6th. This is almost 2 months ago now, okay? Several levels to watch. Of course, bouncing from 1850 three times in 3 days. That's pretty good. Getting back above the August 11th low down here at about 1874. It had been resistance in the bounce late last week. We blasted through it today. That's good. These next little lines, I didn't put a mark on here, but when we first came down last Monday and bounced from 18, like 1885, getting back above there is good. Like I said, we have a last of 1886. The next big target will be putting a 19 handle on. Okay, that'll be nice. That's probably coming too, especially if I'm right about the gold, the dollar index dropping to 94. But the big kahuna for this week or next will, of course, be 1920. Why is 1920 so important? Huh? Yeah, I'll just remind you, that was the all-time high. Maybe it was 1923, whatever it was, but it was 1920 is the number I've always used. September 6th, 2011. Getting back above there. That's why it was support for over a month. That's why it will be resistance again once we get up there. So we'll watch those levels closely. And you can see a lot of this on the silver chart, bouncing from 22, as we figured it would, because 22 is so important. Now getting back above 2380, got to 2386, finished up 2381. We're going to want to watch that level tonight because 2380 is that low from back on August the 11th. There will be resistance at 25 as we climb back up. But then again, the big Monty, whatever you want to call it, big kahuna is 26. And again, if you don't by now realize the importance of 26, I'm not going to tell you because we've only, you know, unless you're brand new in like the last week, then you know the importance of 26. Next up, here are the highlights from Tuesday, September 29th. Finally, the GDX. Like I said, I don't have any problem with the GDX going up 1% a day. I have no problem with that. Okay? After that beautiful little reversal that we caught last Thursday, we've had nothing but up nice little green candles ever since. I think the GDX should be rallying with the approach of earnings season, no doubt about that, and with metals going higher. So how will we know if we're still going to have a really solid October into early November with that same kind of rally that we saw in July into early August or in April into early May? Well, it's going to be the 50-day. No, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And there's a gap on the chart as well. You see that little arrow pointing to it? That's that gap to last Monday. Most of you that trade, you know that charts don't like gaps, right? Just like nature abhors a vacuum. And it doesn't mean that every single gap has to be filled. There are no total 100% eternal truths in trading. But a lot of times gaps are filled. Well, if the GDX were to move up and fill that gap that I'm pointing to here, look where that would take it to. The 50-day moving average. Huh. So it's pretty easy to see where the GDX could still trade a point and a half higher from here, 2 points higher from here, actually. from 39.37 where it closed today, all the way up to that 41.40, 41.45 level. Now, how would we put on 2 points? Well, that's not that hard to do. We do that all the time. Lose 2 points all the time, too. Maybe we get one really good day, like BLSBS Friday or something. But then, if we're going to feel good, if we're going to get that rally that I was hoping for all along and now, you know, has been put in jeopardy by the price action the last couple weeks, well, we're going to have to rally back to the 50-day, and then we're going to have to get above it, okay, and hold above it. Obviously, again, that's 2 points from now, so we got a little time to work on that. But this is going to be something really important to watch for the shares in general in the days ahead. It's now Wednesday, September 30th, and here are your highlights from the end of the quarter. Last day of the fiscal year, total U.S. national debt now approaching $27 trillion. I'm old enough to remember when it hit 10, because of course it wasn't that long ago. God, debt per citizen, debt per taxpayer. And then I'm not sure what the difference is between the official number and the actual number. Well, I can do the math. It's $1 trillion. I'm not sure what the basis is because there's no explanation here. But here you go. U.S. federal spending, $6.2 trillion. U.S. budget deficit, $3.15 trillion in a year. And, of course, the federal debt to GDP ratio, as you can see, now 137% based off of this year's GDP, which won't even reach $20 trillion. Next, there's this little chart. Unfunded debt versus interest. I thought this one was fun too. Total U.S. interest paid. I'm not sure when they started keeping track, but apparently that's a cumulative amount of just interest on the debt that the U.S. has paid, that line item on the annual budget. Total amount of interest paid by each U.S. adult so far is $15,000. Total debt of all U.S. citizens now $82 trillion. That's corporate and public, private, whatever. Total personal debt approaching $21 trillion. Average savings for family, $26,000. I don't even know what that is. One millionth of a basis point. I can't even do that math. How about the total credit card debt approaching now $1 trillion? Total student loan. I mean, this is just awful. The more you look at this site. Q4 begins on October 1st, and here are your TFMR highlights. As I mentioned, we're going to look at that dollar index. That's the one we're going to want to watch. Notice on the dollar index chart, the first one you have on here. And I tried to shorten it up to just the last 4 months to really give you a feel for what I'm looking at here. Again, that range for about 2 months between 92 and 94. Busting out of it late last week, only to reverse now. Now look at the convergence tomorrow that's going to work as support. This is why I say I would not be surprised to see the dollar index fall either overnight before the BLSBS or immediately afterward. And it could fall all the way down to that 50-day, down there at 93.30, whatever it is. Because, look, also, there's a trend line off of the lows from early last month. Okay, see that trend line? Right there at the 50-day. So anything that falls all the way down that far and actually goes below, well, we'd really be on to something. Boy, we have a great day tomorrow. But I would sure suspect, even if we don't get all the way down there tomorrow, there will be support there maybe even early next week. So just be mindful of that dollar index chart. Okay, well, look at this gold chart. Again, this goes back to the highs of early August, which now is, geez, a long time ago. You know about 1920. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, obviously. What had been support? Well, one, it was resistance because that's the all-time high from September of 2011. Then it was support for about 5 weeks, right? See the blue line? And now it's resistance again. It's a key level. But look at the end here. Have you noticed this yet? This is the first time I noticed it was today. Look at that little head and shoulder bottom we got here. But the shoulders at 1890 or so. Really, you could probably call it 1885 if you wanted to. And if you did that, it'd be perfectly symmetrical. because the head's down there at 1850. So I drew the lines at 1890, but I could easily draw them at 1885. And then, obviously, the shoulder line is up there at 1920. Got really close today and got shoved backward. 1920 is a level to watch tomorrow. When the dollar falls, because I suspect it will, whether it gets all the way down to the 50-day or not, we'll see. We're going to get above 1920. And then when the dollar rallies back, we're going to fall back down. So the key tomorrow will be, can we get back? Can we finish the week above 1920? That will be your key level to watch. And here are your key takeaways from a busy week on Friday, October the 2nd. We do have some interesting stuff coming next week, okay? Besides all the stuff with Trump and COVID and God knows by a week from now who else on Capitol Hill will be testing positive. We have the minutes to last month's FOMC meeting are going to come out. Now that's going to be interesting come Wednesday. Because remember, there wasn't a whole lot more given to us. And it was perceived, and this is when we really started getting in trouble, was right after that FOMC two weeks ago. Because remember, the Fed wasn't dovish enough. Zero interest rates through 2023, $120 billion a month, somehow not dovish enough. Powell, in his press conference, basically begging for new debt to monetize. Of course, we're waiting on that. See if that, maybe that'll come this weekend. Who knows? But anyway, next week is going to bring those minutes. Not much else. The service PMIs on Monday, and God knows whatever we can't foresee. But maybe in those minutes, because the Fed didn't get the response they wanted, maybe by the time we get those minutes, they'll have been doctored a little bit in a second attempt to get the response they want. Remember, we've speculated about this for years. Why does it take 3 weeks for some secretaries and assistants to transcribe the minutes? It shouldn't take 3 weeks. It should take 3 hours. Why does it take 3 minutes? And Danielle DiMartino Booth has echoed the same since, because I've been saying this for years. And that is, the Fed puts out their Fed lines, they have their little press conference, and they see what happens. And if they don't get the response they want, then the minutes get doctored just a little bit. Maybe move a few words around, try to reemphasize, maybe even insert something to try to get the response next time. Well, obviously, Powell is trying to get an inflationary response, and he didn't get it. Dollar rallied, okay? In the week following the minutes, what'd the dollar go up? $1.50? So maybe there'll be something in the minutes come Wednesday that'll send it back down and maybe help us out. But for the time being, we're just kind of bleh. Yeah, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, we're still $1,906 for COMEX gold and about $24 for COMEX silver. But I think you and I are all, and all of us are getting a little antsy wanting to get something to happen.